shocking news for commuters and other road users this morning. The Department for Infrastructure has confirmed that procurement for the York Street interchange in Belfast, it's aimed at easing congestion at Northern Ireland's busiest road junction where the M1, M2 and M3 meet, has been put on hold. Work on the £165 million project was due to begin next year. It was due to be completed by 2020. There is confusion this morning after the Infrastructure Minister, Chris Hazard, has said there is now uncertainty around the funding for that project because of Brexit. Why is there confusion? Because the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Philip Hammond, said the following. The UK will continue to have all of the rights, obligations and benefits that membership brings, including receiving European funding, up until the point we leave the EU. We recognise that many organisations across the UK which are in receipt of EU funding or expect to start receiving funding want reassurance about the flow of funding they will receive. That is why, said the Chancellor of the Exchequer, I am confirming that structural and investment fund projects signed before the autumn statement and Horizon Research funding granted before we leave the EU will be guaranteed by the Treasury after we leave. So how do the two statements tally? There's a reassurance from the Chancellor of the Exchequer that they will essentially underwrite what people would have been getting, what government would be getting, what departments would be getting if we were still in the EU. And yet our minister here in Northern Ireland, Chris Hazard, is saying he is stopping a project. He's not stopping it altogether. He's delaying a project because of the uncertainty. So who's right, Chris Hazard or the Chancellor? Let's have a listen to what Mr. Hazard said this morning on Good Morning Ulster.
Well, I think it's important to stress that the project as a whole remains a priority for myself, but there can be no doubt that Brexit spells bad news, not just for this project, but my department as a whole. I outlined to the Assembly a number of weeks ago that the implications of the Brexit is perhaps £300 to £400 million loss for my department. And one such project, of course, is the York Street interchange, which would have received up to 40% funding. So this is a huge challenge. So what I have done is I have put the procurement stage on hold, or lengthened it, probably more accurately, so that I can more accurately assess what funding is available to me in the context of Brexit.
I'm genuinely confused this morning. And we have been on to the office today, Mr. Hazard's department today, and we're trying to seek clarity. I'm not having a go. I'm genuinely trying to seek clarity because I am confused. Have we been guaranteed funding or not? Why is Mr. Hazard saying this now prolongs projects? Seamus Leahy from the Road Hauliers Association. Your reaction to this, Seamus?
Good morning, Stephen. Stephen, sorry, I'm with the Freight Transport Association.
My fault. Sorry, go ahead.
Stephen, yes, we're obviously very disappointed with the announcement yesterday. York Street interchange is something we've been lobbying for several years now. I sat at the public inquiry last November and gave evidence about how to deliver real economic benefits to the wider economy and our own industry, but also the environmental benefits for residents and people working in Belfast as well. So it's something we need clarity on. And I think we need to see this funding secured, because this 40% funding, once it's gone, it's gone. You know, it's going to be between £60 and £70 million. So I think we really need to grab that while we can.
But Seamus, you know, and if others can help me with this, and we are going to try to dig into this today. But again, I read a different statement here, 13th of August, just last month, 13th of August 2016, the Treasury has guaranteed all structural and investment fund projects signed before the autumn statement will be fully funded even when these projects continue beyond the UK's departure from the EU. So what is Chris Hazard on about?
Well, I don't know. I know from my own conversations with Department for Infrastructure and even recently with representatives of the EU Commission, they even told me the European funding was still on the table for Street Interchange as long as the work proceeded as planned at this time next year.
Michelle McIlvaine, 2015, she was the minister then. She said the department was fully committed to the project going ahead.
Yep.
So if the department was fully committed, surely that means it was fully funded, because they can't be fully committed if it wasn't fully funded. So where has the money gone?
That's what we want the answers to as well. We've been told, we actually had officials from the Department for Infrastructure give presentations last year to our members in Belfast, showing them how great this scheme is going to be, what it's going to deliver. So, you know, ourselves as an industry, we were fully expecting this work to commence next year. So hence the disappointment today with our members. I have members. I'm actually holding a meeting here today about 100 yards away from the Westlink. We've got about 50 members turning up at this today, and this will impact every single one of them. You know, a typical large lorry travelling through the Westlink, Stephen, it costs £1 a minute to operate one of these. That's without any profit. You know, a typical profit margin for a haulier is around about 3%. So if you're sat in traffic in the Westlink for half an hour or even up to an hour, there's £30 to £60 that's costing you.
One of the big messages from government in Northern Ireland, from the executive, from Sinn Féin and the DUP, is that they're about creating jobs, they're about creating a vibrant economy. Now, Sinn Féin would say this morning, in fact, Chris Hazard has said it today, that they warned people about the implications of Brexit. We're asking the DUP to respond to that this morning. Let's see if they say anything about that. But they've got that top-line message, where they're there to create jobs, to help the economy. You tell me, not going ahead or delaying this project, what impact that will have, Seamus, on the people you represent?
Not going ahead. Well, our members obviously are the hauliers who are moving goods. So
it's prolonged. Not. It's delayed. It's not that it's not going ahead. Well, it's delayed.
Not going ahead on time. If it's delayed, it's going to impact. Really, people are looking at investors, and we're talking to members. They're looking about. We've fallen well behind the likes of Dublin, not just GB, but you know, down south, the cities down there. Their connectivity to the ports is first class. When I'm talking to companies here, they're always looking at how long it takes, the cost. Because ultimately, moving goods is a cost, it's an overhead. So when they're looking about how much it costs to transport goods from A, let's say, to point B, which could be Belfast Port, they're taking into consideration the time spent in traffic, and they'll look to go elsewhere. And I'm seeing increasingly more and more companies starting to ship goods through the Dublin Port, Warren Point, places like this.
Really?
Yes, it's going to be detrimental. I have a lot of companies probably south of Belfast would actually use Dublin Port now as a crossing, because simply they want to cut out the Westlink and traffic in Belfast.
How much congestion is there? I'm not around that area in the morning. How much congestion is there?
You can see, well, when I talk to a transport manager, all vehicles nowadays have telematics, so they can actually see where a vehicle's sitting, where it's idling, etc. And you could be looking at, depending obviously on circumstances day to day in the Westlink, a lorry could be sitting there, you know, for half an hour, 45 minutes to get, let's say, you know, from Broadway right through York Street to get to the port or Mollusc Newton Abbey further afield. So, you know, you add up when you look at the cost maybe of £1 a minute, you know, you can see this is costing significant money for operators. And ultimately those costs are transferred, you know, they have to be charged out to the exporters, the importers. And also a lot of our members are retailers and manufacturers, so it's an overhead. It makes them less competitive when they're competing against companies across the water or down south.
So there are many. This is a very important story this morning, which is why we're leading with it on this show. There are many, many questions. This £165 million project, which has been put on hold, don't forget the actual jobs associated with that project, with building the road, with that £165 million project in itself. How many jobs has that now cost people in this country who could otherwise have taken those jobs, been employed? And the DUP have questions to answer this morning, because their partners in government are saying, we told you so. We told you, we warned you of the dangers of Brexit. So the DUP have big questions to answer this morning. They advised us to leave Europe. Are their partners in government right? Is this now one of the implications of it, that major projects that just a year ago were fully committed to are now on hold? And to the DUP this morning, what about this confusion that certainly I have? Either the funding from the Chancellor is there and guaranteed and underwritten, or it's not. Wesley Johnson, morning to you, Wesley. You run the Northern Ireland Roads website. Morning to you.
Good morning.
What's your reaction to this, Wesley?
Well, it sort of makes official what we have suspected for some months. The Brexit, I think, is a big part of it. The scheme was due to get up to 40% EU funding, and that's now in question.
But is it in question?
It's in question because we don't know now whether or not we're going to be able to get that funding. The Chancellor did make a statement about underwriting investment up to the date of the UK leaving the EU, but it's not entirely clear what that means, whether we would have to have actually started work by that date or just have a contractor or what would happen. In terms of the money, until a contractor is appointed, there's really no such thing as ring-fence money. It's kind of something politicians say, but it's not really true.
It is entirely clear. I am not the best qualified to handle this, so I'm reading this like any member of the public would, and we'll try to get someone like our business editor, John Campbell, in, a man much smarter than me, to see if he can unfold this for me. But when I'm reading the Chancellor of the Exchequer's statement, Philip Hammond, when I read the words, that is why I'm confirming that structural and investment fund projects signed before the autumn statement and Horizon Research funding granted before we leave the EU will be guaranteed by the Treasury after we leave.
Yes.
I'm wondering why Chris Hazard isn't getting down to making sure this is signed before the autumn statement.
And I mean,
because it therefore would be guaranteed by the Treasury after we leave.
Yeah, does that mean signed by the EU or signed by him? That's just what I'm not clear on. But either way, you know, I don't think Brexit is the only thing that's going on here. I think as well as that, I mean, the Minister's been very upfront ever since he was appointed that he sees his priority as the North West. And he's very much on record as saying that. He was asked about it recently and he stated that. So I think as well as that, we have a minister who is a bit lukewarm on York Street Interchange, to be honest.
Could it be that Chris Hazard is guaranteed the money, but he might want to spend it elsewhere?
Well, I doubt if he would use the word guarantee, but I do think what he wants to do during his tenure is put as much investment as possible into the A5 and A6. That's the impression I get. I don't think he is against York Street Interchange, but I don't think he wants to prioritise it as number one.
We're on to the DUP. We've been on to them this morning. We'll get on to them again. Mr Hazard may or may not have his priorities where this money should be spent. It may or may not be in Belfast. I don't know. But again, what's the DUP fighting for here? They're the people that advised this country to get out of Europe. It was Arlene Foster who told this country, as the leader of the DUP, that there would not be these massive, massive job losses because we left Europe. So let's see what she has to say about this when her Sinn Féin partners in government are saying, we told you so. Stephen in Belfast. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Stephen.
Morning.
This junction at York Street, if that were to go ahead, not only would it ease the traffic there, but because there's a lot of traffic coming along the M1 that's going to go to Larne, before they will go through Belfast, through the West Link and that junction, they come off at Junction 9 at Moira and they hit the Nuts Corner and out to Temple Patrick and past Ballyclare and join the Larne line. So it would ease traffic on that route also.
Have
a knock-on effect.
Have you been in that route in serious time in congestion times?
Yeah, I'm on it every night.
So what's it like?
It's really, really busy. You know, an awful lot of articulated traffic is heading, I assume, to the Larne port.
Yeah. Enda McClafferty was saying in Camus this morning, it's Northern Ireland's busiest road junction.
Is York Street, without a shadow of a doubt. I actually came down the M1 or the M2 one day to go across that, and it was quicker for me to go down the Bangor Road over the M3, turn round in the Odyssey, or the SSE, and come back up and down Oxford Street, up the back of the City Hall, and join at Grosvenor Road. Then they sit and wait in that traffic.
What do you say to our local government this morning? They say that they're going to deal with the issues that affect your lives. You know, the economy affects our lives. Travelling around Northern Ireland, including Belfast, affects our lives. And now, for Northern Ireland's busiest road junction, our government is saying, sorry, we can't do it. For the moment, we can't do it.
At the moment, well, it's...
And a year ago, they said they were fully committed to doing it.
And also, again, another knock-on effect also is if you do that there, it eases the pollution, which recently they've had a meeting where, I forget where it was, all the world powers had a meeting, somewhere in Japan was or something like that. But, you know, it would ease pollution as well if the traffic didn't have to sit as long to get through that junction. So you have to prioritise what the country needs. And as other people have said, the infrastructure is important for business. I am a courier myself. And although...
Do you think this will cost you money?
Cost me money?
Yeah.
No, it'll cost my boss money.
That's what I mean. That's what I mean, your company.
It will indeed. But also, they're also prioritising the A5 and the A6, which are roads that I have used in my job up in Londonderry. And at the minute, I in the afternoon, I do an OMA run. So if they sorted that road out, that would be also very helpful personally to me.
Conor Faulkner, the Director of Consumer Affairs for AA Ireland. Conor, your reaction to this morning?
Well, it's pretty frustrating for everybody involved in using the roads in Northern Ireland. And one of the things that we frequently find ourselves saying in the South is that roads aren't just important to the people that use them, they're important to the entire economy. So every good and service on this island, 96% of our freight moves by road. So this is absolutely integral to the economy. And if you skimp on road investment, it's not something that you can sustain in the long term. I would imagine if I was a business person in Northern Ireland, I would be very frustrated at hearing that such a major road project has been put on the long finger. And I'd also be very sceptical at hearing Brexit as an excuse for this. I mean, this has been, it has been known that investment is needed in this area for as much as a decade. This isn't a recent development or a recent requirement. And also, I would be cynical about, you know, the word Brexit being used as a convenient excuse for not doing a whole list of things when you can see that the imperative is there to do them. And we've had this experience in the Republic. We've been on a bit of a roller coaster, as you will have known, in the north, looking over the garden fence at us, so to speak. But during the Celtic Tiger boom years, the Republic spent a huge amount of money on roads. Now, that was actually a fantastic investment, which has paid us back many times over. The interurban motorways, I mean, you could jump into your car now and meet me for lunch down in Dublin very comfortably.
Do you think, Conor,
the road infrastructure is actually very good?
Do you think this would put off companies in Ireland investing in Northern Ireland?
Well, that was the experience in the Republic. That was the experience that we had firsthand. I mean, there's a tendency for inward investment in the Republic to focus on Dublin, and in Northern Ireland, there's a tendency to focus on Belfast. If you want to get out into the regions, then the road network is absolutely critical. But you also need access to, I mean, let's be realistic, it's a connected world now. The largest airport on the island is Dublin, and people are going to want, you know, proper connected routes to that. But we also found here, like I said, we were on a roller coaster.
But that route,
yeah,
that they've now put on hold to improve, that would be on the way to our international airport, to Belfast International Airport. So they're now putting that on the long finger.
Yeah, that is pretty short-sighted, in my view. And as I say, in our experience, when we made the investment, it paid back. But then when we hit the financial crisis in 2008 or so, investment in and maintenance of roads was one of the budgets that was cut and cut and cut. And that proved to be a very false economy because, you know, roads are not like fine wine. They don't improve with age if you ignore them. Every year that you don't spend money on road infrastructure, it's actually just storing up cost into the future. Northern Ireland will eventually have to complete these infrastructure projects. And the longer you wait to do it, the more expensive it will be in the long run. So it doesn't really make economic sense to long finger it. And you know, to my mind, it's a bit of a frustration reading it. And certainly I would be sceptical of, now perhaps I'm wrong about this, others closer to the detail might correct me, but my instinct would be to be sceptical of hearing the word Brexit used as an excuse.
Conor, thank you.
I think it's just lazy thinking.
Thank you, Conor. And I want to set out for you why this confusion, certainly in my head this morning, if it is also in your head, and I suspect that some of you will be as I am, why this is so important. So this is not a party political situation with Sinn Féin, you know, a junior member of Sinn Féin saying, listen, we might not get funding because of Brexit. This is a government minister saying we might not be able to continue with a key project because we may not get funding from Europe. Why is that so important this morning? Why am I banging on about it? Why have we got the Nolan team urging government to clarify this? Because a government minister in Chris Hazard is saying that our funded projects, our funding projects, are in jeopardy. And meanwhile, the Treasury has given the executive a commitment. They have given a guarantee that projects already approved with the EU will go ahead. So why couldn't we just go ahead with it? Get it done. We're not out of Europe yet. The SDLP's Pat Convery with us this morning. Morning to you, Pat.
Morning. Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, Pat. Go ahead.
Yes, I think this has come as quite a shock this morning to hear the minister has prolonged the procurement exercise, and I understand naturally he has to try to secure the funding. However, this is a key investment for the north of the city. It's a bottleneck since the West Link was redone. Everybody comes along and then they get to this bottleneck at York Street. This is something that I have heard hauliers talk about. I come originally from up the country, and I have heard many hauliers saying that this bottleneck costs them money to sit in traffic and wait. And we have an investment program in Belfast City Council. This is seen as one of the key developments in the city to try and ensure that we have free traffic movement and none of these bottlenecks. So it's important that we try to secure this project and make sure that it goes ahead on time.
What do you think's going on?
Well, I'm not sure what goes on because, unfortunately, the executive doesn't always give the information that it probably needs to give. So, as they're saying this morning, that it's about budgetary problems or no guarantees from Europe, I think that needs to be clarified, like you were saying on your own programme. It needs to be clarified as soon as possible, actually, by pure coincidence.
Because that actually later then feeds into other projects. If we've got ministers in government now saying that we cannot rely on the guarantee from the Chancellor of the Exchequer, now, they haven't said that, but it's certainly one interpretation of it, so that's why we need clarification. If that is the case, that we can't rely on the guarantees being given by Philip Hammond, then that has major implications for Northern Ireland.
Yeah, it has, and it's very important that Belfast, in this particular project, is not left out whenever they are clarifying their funding.
Okay. Pat, thank you. Lots of calls in this. Colin in Derry. Morning, Colin.
Hi, how are you, Stephen?
You're a lorry driver.
Yeah, it takes me from Lurgan, the Dublin port, every morning, 1 hour and 45 minutes, and that's going through tolls and tunnels. On Tuesday, I drove from Stenaport in Belfast to Lurgan. About 4:30 in the afternoon, it took me an hour and a half. So, you can imagine the difference in mileage.
Time is lost money, Colin. Loads of it. So let's take an example of any company thinking to themselves around Europe. Let's look at a company in Europe, America, wherever, and they're thinking to themselves, right, will we invest in Northern Ireland? Will we create jobs in Northern Ireland? Will we bring our business to Northern Ireland? What they're hearing a government minister saying this morning is that the busiest road junction in Northern Ireland, the upgrade to it, it's put on hold. It's put on the long finger. That's the message to those businesses outside of Northern Ireland, anywhere in the world, that might be coming here. Our capital city, our major road, the busiest road, upgrading it, put on hold.
But do you look at the road to Derry? It's Lane Shane. It's a single carriageway for most of the road. It goes through Dungiven, which is the most polluted town in Europe, and they still haven't done nothing about it. this day and age. That's why there's no transport, work and dairy. It's so, all in Belfast.
So you're at the coal face of this. You're actually at the heart of our story this morning because you are a lorry driver. So this this message from the Sinn Féin minister, Chris Hazard, this morning about putting this project on hold, what message do you think that sends out to business?
Maybe Chris Hazard should go out and sit in a truck for a week. Not a day, not a couple of hours, for a week. Not do the job, just get drove around. And then you'll see what it's like then.
Damien writes to me this morning on Twitter and says, Stephen, people who voted for Brexit to stop immigration and migrants have just lost us funds for roads, jobs and community projects. Well, have they? You see, that's, you know, I'm sitting here at 9:30 this morning, and if that is the case, and it is certainly an interpretation from what the minister, Chris Hazard, is saying, that the funding is in jeopardy, then that is at complete odds with what the Chancellor of the Exchequer, Philip Hammond, has said. So I would urge those in the Northern Ireland Executive this morning to provide us with clarity around this so that we all understand. We're going to speak to the Ulster Unionist Party's Jenny Palmer in 1 second. We're asking the DUP to respond. We've asked Mr Hazard. So here's Jenny Palmer now from the Ulster Unionist Party. Morning to you, Jenny.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning. What are your thoughts around this, Jenny? Do you know what's going on?
Not really, Stephen. You know, we don't really know what the executive is doing. Everything we have to do, we have to really screw out of them. But what I would say is the engineering reports that identified that the single biggest blockage to Northern Ireland's infrastructure was that York Street interchange that was necessary to deliver an economic growth and travel throughout the city, both for commuters and for tourism. And it impacts badly, not just in that area of the city, Stephen, but that look, Brickland to Belfast every single morning, Junction 8 at Burris is absolutely hammered because of the extra traffic that is queuing up to get onto the M1. So it is crucial that this interchange is actually delivered. And I recognise that the Minister has said that he wants to spend some money in the North West. But you know something? It's an all-singing, all-dancing, gold-plated approach with the A5 and the A6. And if they streamed it back, saved money there, they could actually deliver the interchange. And the Narrowwater Bridge is a vanity project.
We're not sure that's happening, are we?
We're not sure it's happening. But listen, Stephen, where's the $350 million that was promised as extra funding in the Fresh Start Agreement for infrastructure? Where's that money going to if he's saying there's a $300 million, $400 million shortfall in his budget? Is that accommodating that $350 that was promised?
So where does this go next? What happens now? Because if you think who this affects, I've been banging on about business this morning, it doesn't just affect business. It affects people bringing their kids to school.
Yeah.
It affects you if you're going up to, you know, going to our airports. It affects you if you thought you might have got a job out of this, the whole construction industry in Northern Ireland. This was a major project, you know, worth over £165 million project. Putting that on hold, how many jobs has that cost Northern Ireland? And what have the DUP got to say about this?
Well, Stephen, you know, I don't know where the issue is arising around the additional funding that is required, that there's a 40% shortfall over that £165 million, because if there was a £350 million promise in the Fresh Start Agreement for extra infrastructure funding, then, you know, where did that go? Where is that money? Why is it that that money is not being used to deliver the York Street interchange?
We're waiting to hear. We have put a series of questions in this morning. Now, we did this, to be fair to them. We did this at about 10 to 9 this morning, but they do have quite a few press officers. We covered that story yesterday, so I'm sure the many press officers will be able to handle our questions this morning. Here's what we've asked today. Previous Minister Michelle, read out the questions we've asked. Previous Minister Michelle McIlveen said the department was committed to the York Street Interchange project in 2015. Was the EU funding for that project confirmed at that stage? That's our first question. Second question, was the EU funding confirmed at any stage? Third question, has that EU funding since been withdrawn? Fourth question, Has that EU funding been put in any doubt by the European Structural and Investment?